This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
This is Spike Lee, and the Michael K. Show starts now. 98.7 ESPN.
And a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Tuesday, April 26, 2022. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg. We're all apart, but we're together for the next 3.5 hours. The other 20 and a half, that's your responsibility. And we start off with the Brooklyn Nets. Boy, were they bad. Obviously Durant tried. I got the impression, and I'm sure this will be quite controversial, Kyrie wanted no part of going back to Boston for Game 5. None. He looked like he was disengaged. Every now and then you'd see a flash of something, but that was it. And that's the guy I worry about the most, even more than Ben Simmons. What is his motivation? What is his drive moving forward? And then I think he had the money quote after the game, the one that people were talking about during the whole offseason. Well, me and Kevin and Sean and Joe, you know, we're going to work together. Really? You're not management, Kyrie. You don't have any skin in the game. You don't own part of the team. Joe Tsai owns the team. Sean Marks is the GM. You're a player. But I give him credit. He knows exactly his power base. He is the reason that Kevin Durant is there. And if they don't want him back and they don't give him the max contract, which is 5 years of $260 million, so that's over $50 million a year, then Kevin Durant probably leaves as well. Talk about a power base. That's why he could say such nonsense like that. That's why he could get away with a game like that. That's why he could get away with playing 29 regular season games because he refused to get the vaccine. He knows he has power. He's a smart guy. He could say and do anything that he wants, and he does it. And he continues to do it because they're afraid of him. They're afraid of him and how it would affect whether or not KD starts or stays. So I'm not sure where the Nets go. I think the Nets are backed into a corner, and they've got to accede to every single one of his demands because he is the key to Kevin Durant.
I just love these players who play GM. And it's kind of gutless in a way, Michael, because what happens if they're wrong? Like if I'm a general manager and I screw up and I go get Westbrook, I could get fired. You know, right. If I'm a general manager and I hire, you know, a complete neophyte as my head coach and I attach myself at the hip to a player that doesn't really love basketball the way he should, I lose my job. KD doesn't. LeBron doesn't. Oh, we laugh it off. Oh, so what? You know, he's got a bunch of rings. He's going to the Hall of Fame. He's one of the top five players. So what? Well, stop dabbling in things you're no good at. So they're being held hostage to a guy that hasn't really done anything for them. Listen, he's a beast. He's a great ball player. He's a fraction of an inch away from going to the conference final last year. His foot's not on the line. But still, you look at it, and what have you done? Right? 2 years of what? One playoff series win? No playoff series wins. No playoff wins, period, here. And having to settle for a 7 seed because you attached yourself to the hip of a guy that's a transcendent talent but doesn't show up every day. You attached yourself at the hip to a coach that has never coached in the NBA before, and I think it made a huge difference. And you got embarrassed. Embarrassed like no other team. Probably more embarrassed than the Lakers. So what exactly am I being held hostage for? Usually when there's players, Michael, they want a bunch of rings for me. I got to listen to them. What has he done for the Nets? What has Sean Marks got out of all of this? Heck, if I were him, I'd resign. I got credibility. I got skin in the game. I can go get a job someplace else. What good is being here? I don't get to do my job, and then when we lose, oh, I'm the guy that lost, and if I ever win, I get no credit for it because KD and Kyrie are running the show. If I'm Marks, I leave. Go find someplace else to be the general manager so he can do his job.
The thing that bothered me the most about Kyrie saying, you know, hey, we're going to all sit down together and blah, 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 and making it sound like, listen, I think there's a world in which that's totally reasonable. You know, for LeBron James to openly say that, to me, I'd have no issue with it because it would be honest. You can't treat yourself like management if you're a player who doesn't show up half the time. Like, I'm sorry. If that's true, if you really see yourself as upper management leadership of this team, How could you have in good faith not taken the vaccine and skipped all those games? Come on. I'm not saying that, and Michael, that's not a judgment on like COVID or like specific vaccine politics. It's just about if you literally, there's a difference between being a player on a team or a worker in an organization and the person who leads the organization. If you lead the organization, you're going to do the sacrifices necessary, even if it's uncomfortable for you, to ensure you have the best chance to succeed. So he really missed me with that last night after a season in which you could say a huge percentage of their problems comes from the fact that they couldn't gel because he wasn't around.
And you could see exactly what his plan was by diving deeper into what he said, Peter, because he said, you know, we thought we'd be able to work it out. They thought they would be able to work it out with the government, that he could play, that he was going to get some kind of exception. All he had to do was get the shot, just like every single one of his teammates. All he had to do was get the shot, and they wouldn't be in this position. They're talking about gelling. They would have gelled if he was there from the beginning. He played 29 games. Kyrie Irving does not play every game of a season. He doesn't even come close. And this has nothing to do with load management. This has nothing to do with load management. This has to do with all of his causes. The year before, he just couldn't bring it upon himself to take the court with everything going on in the world. And this time, he's the only net that wouldn't get a shot. And so now they're knocked out in the first round. One of the most colossal disappointments in the history of professional sports. Sorry. And now you got a situation, everybody's killing them. Not just the three of us, everybody's killing the Nets. And KD, I give him credit, fighting back on Twitter. They go after the gods. Set the guy. I mean, talk about like a high opinion of yourself. They go after the gods? Charles Barkley wants no part of it. Stephen A. Smith has destroyed them. Everybody that you can think of, Jay Will has destroyed them. There's no other way to look at it. It was almost like self-sabotage.
Although I will say, I think the Don said this yesterday, I believe. Barkley seemed to really take a little bit of a step too far in his assessment.
How so?
The idea that he was a passenger.
Yeah,
in
he
Golden
was not
State,
a passenger.
It's not fair. I mean, you can say one part's true. When Barkley says, I never left a team because things got too hard, okay, that's fair. That KD, you know, you can look at it as you can't beat him, join him with Oklahoma City going to Golden State. I get that. But he was by no means a passenger in Golden State. He was the best player on that team.
Oh, I agree with both of you, but I also agree with Barkley the way he's played here. He hasn't distinguished himself. This is his team, and although they allowed him to be the guy, it was still Curry's team. Curry allowed it to be his team, allowed him to be the number one option rather than Curry.
You know, it's almost looking at KD and Kyrie is almost like the guy that decides, you know what, I'm tired of working for the man. I'm just going to open up my own shop, and I'm going to make my own rules, and I'm not going to answer to any bosses or any foreman anymore. I'm going to open up my own little gift shop, and I'm going to be the boss, and I'm going to decide the hours. I've won my rings already. I've established myself as a Hall of Famer. Like, was coming to Brooklyn really about collecting rings or just, hey, this is going to be my last hurrah? I don't have to listen to coaches. I get to be my own general manager. I get to play with the guys I want to play with and just end my career happy. I don't want to be coached. I don't want to be told to do anything. And if I win championships, great. If not, who cares? But I'm not going to sit around and chase a ring. I'm not going to sit around and be told what to do and be coached up. I want to have my own little business here and do what I want. Isn't that basically what they're doing?
They essentially are doing that, and neither one of them has to chase a ring. Kyrie has a ring coming back from 3-1 down, hitting one of the biggest shots in finals history, and Kevin Durant has two. So anything they get in Brooklyn is gravy. And now if you're Joe Tsai and Sean Marks, it's a difficult decision. And a caller got to me yesterday and really made me think, if you don't run this back and you tell Kyrie, take a walk, we don't want you here anymore, and that leads to Kevin Durant wanting to go as well, how are you going to get players like this? So, yeah, they could still be relevant, but not relevant to this extent because Sean Marks had them moving in the right direction before he signed Durant and Kyrie. But making the move for Harden, who is chasing a ring, that was awful. And then the trade for Simmons is awful. Now, Simmons, it comes out today, and Peter, you alluded to this yesterday. Simmons said, or through people, that his stress level, you know, the mentals that he's dealing with, has actually made the situation with the back worse. And for anybody that has back problems, the more stress you have, the more your back hurts. So if there is actually a problem, some kind of disc issue, the more you're stressed out, the more it is going to hurt. So it becomes an unending thing. He didn't want to play. So he was stressed out about playing. He did not want to play. So you wonder, is Rich Paul going to come to the Nets and say, get him out of here? He needs a no-stress situation to move forward. So I don't know what the deal is with the Nets moving forward. Are they going to run it back? They probably are. And if you look at every one of the four games, if Nick Claxton was just bad from the free throw line rather than historically inept, 1-for-11, they might win the game. Every single one of the four games that they lost, they could have won. They didn't get blown out in any of them. So what a disappointment. What a disappointment. And it's more disappointing because Kyrie got to do whatever he wanted, and he's been able to do whatever he wanted for the last 2 years. And it's funny because it comes down to this. If you have talent, you can do whatever you want. If you have transcendent talent, it's hard to be governed. Only the great ones that have transcendent talent allow themselves to be coached and governed. Like Michael Jordan gave a lot of power to Phil Jackson. Didn't have to, but he did. He respected Jackson, and Jackson coached him. The guys in Golden State, they give a lot of power to Steve Kerr. They allow themselves to be coached. Even LeBron, when he was in Miami with Dwayne Wade, they allowed themselves to be coached. The boss of that organization was Pat Riley. They were not telling him what to do. And Spoelstra had the support of the boss, so he was allowed to coach them. These guys are running the show. So there is no end game where they get coached. They're not coachable in that sense. They're two biggest stars, and they can because the way the NBA has gone now, the players have all of the power. So if they get their nose out of joint or if they don't like something about what's going on, they say they want to go, and you have to trade them. So the Nets are caught between the proverbial rock and a hard place. There's no way if they were given truth serum that Sean Marks and Joe Tsai want anything to do with Kyrie Irving. But they're being held hostage because of Irving's connection to Kevin Durant. You have to keep Durant because Durant is a transcendent talent. And so is Irving. But Irving takes away from that talent by just being a pain in the rear.
But you got to give me more than what they gave. You know, it's one thing, Michael, if this team's won a bunch of championships or on the cusp of winning one. We talked about the chemistry in sports and how sometimes it takes time. Well, when the big three got together in Miami, they still made it to the finals. And they lost to the Mavericks, and then they eventually got their bearings, and then they rattled off a couple. But, you know, we're talking about a team that was exited the second round last year and didn't make it out of the first round, didn't win a game. So really, how close are they? And KD's not getting any younger. He's going to be 34 next year. So I understand that sometimes you cave because of the transcendent talent, but what does it mean at the end of the day? How close have they come?
They didn't come close at all.
At all. So how do we know it's even going to work? You sell your soul, and then for what?
Finishing
as the sixth seed because Kyrie this or KD gets hurt or Simmons can't play with the bad back, sneak into the play-in, or be a sixth seed, get bounced in the first round. So what? Heck, the Nets probably could have done that anyway, even without anybody. Even if they never got involved with KD and Kyrie, they could have been a play-in team, finished seventh, they get swept in the first round.
And I do wonder about the future of super teams going forward. I think that the only reason it worked in Miami was the alpha nature of Pat Riley. It's not working in L.A. You know why? LeBron's calling the shots. Rob Pelinka has no power. Jeannie Buss allows LeBron to be the de facto owner. He's the one who engineered the trade for Russell Westbrook. So who ended up getting caught for that? The coach. They fired the coach. Was it the coach didn't want him? LeBron wanted him. The only way the super team works is if you have an alpha male running the deal. That he's not going to allow these guys to actually call the shots. The Nets allow these guys to call the shots. And what's really sad is that Sean Marks is a brilliant basketball mind. Look what he did with the Nets to get them to the point where Kyrie and KD wanted to be there. The moves he made, they were in cap hell. They lost all of their draft picks. The guy did everything right. And then this happened. And he allowed them to have all the power to get rid of Atkinson. They didn't want it to be coach. And to get rid of Nash. Now, Don brought up something during our pregame show where he said, you notice what Kyrie said. Me, KD, Joe, and Sean will work things. Don never mentioned the coach.
Never did. So that means that he's completely not even involved or that he's going to be the collateral damage. Because I think KD and Kyrie have to know that somebody's got to be held accountable for this. Listen, Steve Nash was a great player, a Hall of Fame player. But you can find another coach if you want to find somebody to let you do whatever you want to do. But I think those guys are savvy enough. You got to throw the fan base some chum. So that's the way I took it, is that he's not going to be a part of the equation. But it'll be some other person, whether it's a famous player that we know or somebody we don't know, that's also going to have no power as the head coach.
Let's take some phone calls because we want to stay on time today, because we're lucky enough to get the manager of the first-place Mets, Buck Showalter, on with us. That'll be around anywhere from 3:42 to 3:45, something like that. So stay tuned for that. We're excited about it. So we want to take your phone calls on this. This is obviously a big story, and we'll cover it all day. We have Jeff Van Gundy on at 5 o'clock to give us an insider's look at this as well. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Sam in Brooklyn to start it off. Sam.
Hey, guys. Hey, listen, Michael, I want to counter your thought about how other players would look at management. I think if anything, players would commend management for going all in, right? I mean, sure, the moves didn't result in what they wanted, not even close. But, you know, Sean Marks, I mean, they went all in. I mean, you brought three superstars onto the team. They lost because of the players, not because of management.
Yeah, but management allowed the players to set this up where they would lose. The management allowed the players to choose the coach that doesn't coach them. He's a cheerleader. He's clapping his hands like Jason Garrett on the sideline. Is he really coaching them? Is he really telling Kyrie, pick it up, pick it up. You're a little slow out there. No, I don't think he is. He's like a player. So, it's on the players, but you gave the players all the power. What, are the players supposed to turn it down? They sought the power. They got the power. Let's go to Jimmy in Connecticut. Jimmy.
What's up, guys? So, you kind of hit on my point a little bit a few minutes ago, Michael, about the future of super teams. I wonder the exact same thing, and especially for one reason. Last year, the team that beat them, the Milwaukee Bucks, was mostly a homegrown team. Does this whole debacle just totally make teams and players rethink the formula of super teams going forward?
Well, I think, Jimmy, that what it comes down to, you have to exactly know who the players are that you're getting and whether or not they're coachable and whether or not you can actually govern them. Now, I think Kevin Durant, you can actually coach. He proved that in Golden State. He worked within their system. They got him great shots. He never complained. He's a basketball savant. But when you throw Kyrie in the mix, Kyrie is a basketball genius as well, but he is also very cunning. He knows exactly where the base of power lies and how much power he has, which happens to be everything. And his power is only increased by his connection to Kevin Durant. I don't know if one single player can do that, but two aligned together, they can do it. That's the franchise right there. If you tell Kyrie we're not bringing you back, Kevin Durant's probably going to say, I want out. Let's go to Scott in Rockville Center. Scott.
Yeah, this whole idea of Kyrie, to me, is based on this whole notion of two things. The idea of trust and performance. You guys have talked an awful lot about him being a transcendent talent and all those types of things. He absolutely is. His skills are off the charts. The problem with Kyrie is he cannot be trusted. You made a great point. You talked about Durant. Durant, you know, went to Golden State, and he was trusted, and he would be able to be coached. He's a transcendent talent, and he was able to be trusted. Kyrie cannot be trusted. And when you have guys like that, he becomes toxic. He needs to go. He needs to go immediately. The Nets need to figure it out, and they need to get rid of him. And like you said yesterday, if that means that KD's going to go too, then KD has to go.
Now, the Nets have to decide, Scott. They can get a pretty good package for KD. They can't get KD, though. They can't get anybody close to KD. And they could let Kyrie go, and they're not getting anybody close talent-wise to Kyrie. So you have to sit there and you have to do the algorithm. What works? What works better for us, keeping these two guys, letting them run the show, or actually cleansing the whole situation where it might take 4 or 5 years, where you'd be searching for a KD and a Kyrie again, that wouldn't be as toxic as these two are. And I'm not saying Durant is toxic. The only toxicity is that he is aligned with Kyrie, and Kyrie is too smart and cunning to allow anybody to tell him what to do, which is good. It's good to have power, but how you yield that power and wield that power are two completely different things.
I just wonder if it's good for business. Like, if you're Joe Tsai and you're sitting there, you're absolutely right from a basketball standpoint, but are you willing to take the hit if you decide to cut bait with both of those players? Yeah, you're right. You'll get something back for KD, but you're not going to get KD back. And now you become like an ordinary team that still could be good and maybe even finish better than they have over the last couple of years, but will you be relevant? Well, will the nation be talking about you? Will you be on national television? Will you sell out every game? You know, so that's good for business, Michael. And if he's a businessman, he may not be willing to do that.
Right.
You know, so and you can't kill him for that because, listen, they may be the number two team in town as far as, like, behind the Knicks, but, Michael, they're opening shows. They're around the nation being talked about. They're leading Sports Center. They're filling buildings here and on the road because of the players that they have. You know, we joked about Spike Lee being courtside. Listen, you're going to lose a lot of that. You're going to lose a lot of celebrity cachet. You're just going to become what you were before. You know, a nice team that nobody's paying attention to. Is Joe Tsai willing to do that to make the basketball team better? Or is he going to be intoxicated by how relevant they are, and if they could for some reason just happen to get it right, look what could happen.
All right, for those that are wondering, the Yankees have announced that the gates will open at 5:30. So the weather forecast is not perfect, but it's good enough for them to open the gates at 5:30, which would lead you to believe they think they could play the game. So that being said, a very, very disappointing rest roulette.
What do you mean?
Really, nobody's being rested. Today's Yankee starting lineup brought to you by Bigelow Wow. Tea. The person that's being rested is the guy that's on the paternity list, Aaron Hicks. So works out perfectly. I guess you could say, well, the guy that replaced him on the roster, Miguel Andujar, is being rested. He is not playing. But it's DJ LeMahieu at second base leading off. Aaron Judge celebrating his 30th birthday today. He's in center field batting second. Hitting third, first baseman Anthony Rizzo. Giancarlo Stanton in right field will clean up. Batting fifth, the third baseman Josh Donaldson. Gleyber Torres does play today, but he's the DH, batting sixth. Batting seventh, playing left field, Joey Gallo. Isaiah Kanafalefa, the shortstop, will bat eighth, and batting ninth and catching, it's Kyle Higashioka. And on the mound for the Yankees will be Luis Severino. That's today's Yankees starting lineup, brought to you by Bigelow Tea. Bigelow Tea is a proud supporter of the Michael Kay Show and the official hot tea of Joe Torre and the New York Yankees.
And, you know, because of the interview that we had on Friday with Aaron.
Right.
And I don't think he was really a fan of the whole rest roulette
thing. No, doesn't like it at all.
Did you notice, Peter, and I love conspiracy theories, but tell me if this one's off. That lineup that Michael read popped up a minute before the show started. What better way for a manager to say, blank you on your rest roulette, I'm going to give the lineup
right
before
here.
The show starts.
Yep.
Here's your rest roulette right
you
up
here. You can sniff my socks.
Now, and you know also, what? If Boone's doing that, I love him even more for it.
Jam it up!
If you're wondering, this has been a big thing that's out there. A lot of people are waiting. So the sealed letter, which the Yankees have battled in court, it's going to be unsealed at some time this week. But Andy Martino of SNY has a copy of it.
Wow.
And for all the Astro fans that are waiting with bated breath that this will finally show that the Yankees are just as bad as we are and the Red Sox just as bad as the Red Sox were, it is an unbelievable nothing burger. So if you're rooting that the Yankees did something insidious, boy, I don't even know why the Yankees fought this in court. I have no idea. There's nothing there.
So wait, Martino's telling us the main points?
All the points. There's nothing there, Peter. We'll talk about it in the 4 o'clock hour, but I'm just telling everybody, there's nothing there. Zero. Nothing there. We know that they stole signs in the video room. That was already, they got fined $100,000. This was well before this was called illegal. And then when the commissioner sent out that letter, which the Astros ignored and the Red Sox ignored, the Yankees never did anything after that. There is nothing that the Yankees did that was against the rules.
You know what? That's Randy Levine being a lawyer.
Right.
Realizing he didn't want to set a precedent.
And he also felt that it was wrong, that something that should not have been open was open. But this is no big ticking time bomb. They did nothing.
No, but I'm just answering why
they fought
the letter being opened. Everybody assumed, well, it must have revealed something embarrassing. No, it just that they figured this was wrong, this shouldn't be opened, and they're fighting for it. And I get that. That's what good organizations do. But it did open up a bit of a Pandora's box as far as a PR was concerned. But if they knew in the back of their mind there was nothing going to be in there, that once it was opened up, it was a win-win either way. Either
right.
They keep it closed or it did open and show you that it was nothing. It's actually pretty smart when you think about it.
It's game time. Brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. We got a lot today. Orioles-Yankees 7:05 on YES. Mets-Cardinals 7:45 on SNY. Devils against the Senators at 7 p.m. Hurricanes-Rangers at 7 p.m. 6:30 pregame right here at 98.7. Islanders against the Capitals 7 p.m. 6:30 pregame on 10:50.
Where do you get your order, by the way?
I just wrote them down willy-nilly.
Well, certainly you did.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, I grew up a Devil fan, but Devil Senators, they could, you know, right, honestly, they could skate it in my backyard. I wouldn't glance.
Wow. You would probably call the authorities.
No, just don't dig up the yard.
That's game time, Rushy Boy. Tell them more,
Rangers,
Irish
Hurricanes
whiskey.
Battling for first place, and you mentioned that as an afterthought. I'm disgusted by you and your tie.
During the big games this season, enjoy a Tullamore Dew, the original triple blended, triple distilled, and triple cask matured Irish whiskey. Remember, when it's game time, it's Tully time. Please enjoy responsibly. We'll come back, take more of your phone calls on the Nets. Buck Showalter right around 3:42. Tune in for that. Jeff Van Gundy at 5. Kay LaGreca-Rosenberg and you on YES and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Corey in Brooklyn. Corey.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to say I thought Don made an amazing point that I hadn't heard any other people make in the wake of this Nets collapse. Had the Nets won or even looked competitive, KD and Kyrie would have gotten all the credit for building the super team and doing what they had to do. But now that they got swept, it's easy to look at Sean Marks for all the mistakes and the James Harden trade and all that. But if I was him, if I was Sean Marks, I would get out of there. Let the Nets figure it out. Because
I would.
What they were doing before this, they were on point. They had the team looking competitive. After the Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce trade, they've been doing what they had to do. And now it's easy to put the blame on them because they lost, on Sean Marks because they lost, and it's not right. If I was Sean Marks, I would just go. I would get out of there.
Well, you know what? I don't blame Sean Marks. He did what he had to do signing KD and Kyrie. I blame Sean Marks for the Harden deal. I don't think they forced him to do that. I think he wanted to guard against the fact that Kyrie is unreliable. So he wanted to have that second great player to go along with Durant. But I put the blame on Joe Tsai. Joe Tsai has given these guys all the power. I'm sorry. They haven't earned that power. They've earned the power on the court, but they shouldn't be running a team. They shouldn't be calling the shots on a coach. You're giving too much power to players.
Especially players who aren't available all the time.
Well, one is. Well, the other guy's injured every now and then. Don, what, you didn't like my tie? You made a shot about my tie earlier. For what reason?
I don't know what's going on there with the shirt, the contrast. It's I'm disgusted by you and your tie. I'm not a fan. It's like a very tropical fish look.
I'm going to look. Hold on.
Tropical fish? It's a lot of different shapes, but that's fine in today's fashion world.
Not for Don, it's not.
I didn't care for it. I didn't care for your selection of the order in which you read the games. It was you know what? It was a non-effort, and I don't tolerate it on this show.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're the only guy allowed to phone it in.
Cite one example, and I will say that you won this argument.
Well, I'll have to come up with him.
There you go.
I've got him in my Rolodex at home. I'm not home right now.
I don't have a problem with Michael's tie, I don't think.
You know what? Here's the deal, Peter. Doesn't affect me in the least. Don is not exactly Tom Ford.
Well, it was something that I looked at in a fit of anger, and I just wanted to hurt you.
So you struck at me for no reason.
Well, no, there was a reason.
To hurt me.
Well, don't give a list of games, and you give a game that basically is two eliminated teams. Rangers and Hurricanes are playing for first place, and you bury that behind Devils Senators. Not trying.
But we're not going to talk Devils Senators other than the thing you're bringing up right now. We will break down
everything
the Rangers
that we
and what
do.
This
even
means.
The nondescript stuff is all very much important and that we put effort in. And you didn't, and I won't tolerate it.
Let's go to Spike in St. Pete. He'll tolerate it. Hi, Spike.
Well, I'll tolerate it, and you can eavesdrop anytime you want. Scott Foster tried to get a game five out of that mess last night. That was horrible officiating. Chris Dudley reappeared dressed as Nick Claxton. How do you leave the guy in? And he at least pulled, what's the kid from UConn, Drummond out early, because he's only able to play against dinosaurs from the 80s. And Peter, you know I love you, but that was an easy matchup for the Celtics. And never in doubt, notwithstanding the first game, did I ever think for one second the Nets were going to beat them. And Kyrie Irving, God bless him, man, he's pulling strings all over the place. And for that owner of that team, that billionaire, to allow this is unacceptable.
Well, it's hard to argue with you. I think you hit them all right on the screws. And if the Net fans want to feel any worse, I don't know if you realize this, Peter. You know the terrible trade that Billy King was forced by Prokhorov? I don't blame Billy King. Prokhorov forced him to make the Garnett and Pierce deal.
Mm-hmm.
One of those picks that went to Boston is Jason Tatum. Everything came back to bite the Nets. Everything. Wow. One of those picks was used to pick Jason Tatum.
Wow. That really is full circle. Also, listen, I don't want to spend a ton of time dwelling on this because, like I said, I don't like feeling like the old sports talk radio guy. But we talked about the optic of Spike Lee at the game. I mean, how about the level of love that the Nets were giving Jason Tatum and the Celtics after the game? Can you, like, maybe assume your fan base isn't thrilled with this and just wait till you get in the tunnel to do it?
Like, what about the love they showed Kyrie?
I'm sorry, Peter. I couldn't agree with you more. I didn't want to say it because, you know, I'm the guy who's always that guy. But since you're cool and you said it.
Oh, no. I think
Kyrie cannot be smiling as he's hugging these guys like they're long-lost buddies.
Like, I know Tatum and Kyrie played together. I get it. They have a relationship. All these guys have relationships. It's a fraternity. We know that. You guys care about each other behind the scenes. We know that. But your fans just paid hard-earned money two games in a row to watch you get swept. Save the loving each other and the love fest for when you get to the tunnel. That's it. It looks like you don't care.
It's like it didn't matter. And I know it matters to them, but a lot of smiling. And if Kyrie loved these guys so much, why'd you force your way out of Boston? You had the opportunity to stay there with that team, with you as the point guard.
Yeah.
And if you really played hard, they probably are a sure thing to win a title.
Honestly, if Kyrie had been committed, Michael, every piece of that Celtics team that you really like was there when Kyrie was there.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And in him, they had what they don't have now, which is a true point guard. So, yet it couldn't work at all.
Very weird. Very weird. Very disconcerting. And I'm glad Peter brought it up and it didn't have to be me. Oh, old man shooting at the clouds. Blah, 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 blah. Well, now a young guy with a chain on said the same thing.
The chain makes a difference, doesn't it?
It does. It really does.
It brings it all together, doesn't it?
It really does. It really does. Charlie asked me yesterday if I could get him one of those smiley face shirts. I said, not for $43, son.
Too much. A bridge too far.
That's a bridge too far. Anyway, we'll come back. We're going to talk to the manager of the first-place New York Mets, William Nathaniel Showalter III, known as Buck, right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN. This is the Michael K. Show.
You attached yourself to the hip of a guy that's a transcendent talent but doesn't show up every day. You attached yourself at the hip to a coach that has never coached in the NBA before, and I think it made a huge difference. And you got embarrassed. So what exactly am I being held hostage for? Usually when there's players, Michael, they want a bunch of rings for me. I got to listen to them. What has he done for the Nets? What has Sean Marks got out of all of this? Heck, if I were him, I'd resign. I got credibility. I got skin in the game. What good is being here? I don't get to do my job, and then when we lose, I'm the guy that lost, and if I ever win, I get no credit for it because KD and Kyrie are running the show. If I'm Marks, I leave. Go find someplace else to be the general manager so he can do his job.
The Michael K. Show.
I'm disgusted by you and your tie.
On 98.7 ESPN.
All right, welcome back to the show. Before I give you the Yankee letter that has been unsealed by several, still not by the courts, the Mets have a decision to make, Don and Peter.
Yes.
That's why I asked about Cano, because Major League Baseball changed a little bit on the way the rosters are going to change on May 2nd. So they're going to go from 28 to 26, which is the normal size roster. And the initial plan was that they were going to limit 13 pitchers that you could carry. Well, because of the risk of injury and pitchers still aren't all the way stretched out, for the time being, they're making it 14 pitchers limit. Now, some teams carried 16 pitchers. Yankees carried 16 pitchers for a while.
Right.
Now they're carrying 15. So if the Mets are allowed to carry 14 pitchers, who's going down? So you can't send down Cano. You have to release him, and that would cost you $40 million. Or Dominic Smith, I looked into it, Don. He has an option left. Do you send him down? Now, there's some other people that you consider, but they're all, I think, kind of important to what they're doing. And from what I've heard, Buck loves Travis Jankowski. Loves him. Loves the energy that he brings. So
I don't think it's
going to be him. So I think it's going to come down to sending Dominic Smith down or releasing Cano. And with Buck saying we think he's going to get better as the weather gets warmer, that would lead me to believe that they probably hang with him, because even Steve Cohen doesn't want to eat a $40 million pill. So since Dominic Smith does have an option left, it could be that route.
Yeah, and it would be a shame too, right? Because he's been around a while, and that would really be humbling for him. And does he deserve to go? You hate to see that happen, right? But there was an interesting situation, I think it was Saturday, where they could have pinched hit for Smith in the sixth. They didn't. They let him hit. He popped out. And you wonder, like, in moments like that, is that where, does that tell you, hey, show me? Show me you belong to stay? Or was that, hey, you're my guy and I'm going to stick with you? I don't know where we go with that. And Buck's not going to tell us, and he's going to use as much time as possible to make that decision. But, you know,
got a big hit yesterday, though, Smith. That was a huge hit.
That was a big hit, and it was a hustle hit. And what happened to Cano? Started and went 0 for 4.
Yep.
But we're still only talking about 38 at-bats for Cano. And so I see what he's saying there. And, you know, this is a guy that missed all of last year, Michael, and he had a great season in 2020. You know, so there's probably a lot better Cano in the future, but the question is how much better? And is it worth, you know, disrupting Dom Smith's maturity and what you're hoping to get with him by sending him down? So I understand you don't want to eat $40 million, Michael, but at the same time, you don't want to cut loose a player, albeit 39 years old, albeit a guy that's not hitting this year, and miss out on what might be someone that could still help you. So I don't know. Do you want to make a judge on somebody 38 at-bats in?
Especially a guy who didn't play last year. Now,
right.
Now, this is a question I want to throw at both of you, because it's a really difficult question. So he got nabbed for using PEDs. Second time. So that's why he was suspended for the full year and lost the money from last year. He's 38 years old.
Maybe 39, I think.
39. So maybe he needs the PEDs. If you're him, do you start using so you could play again with the risk? If you get caught, then you are suspended for life. I mean, 39, what's the difference? But you also lose $40 million that you'll never, ever get back. Or do you continue to just struggle and just get released?
PEDs, Schmeeds.
Hard call, right?
I mean, is it
because I think his chance of making the Hall of Fame, his numbers would say he's a Hall of Famer. If you get suspended for a year, I don't think you're ever going. So I don't think he's ever going to be a Hall of Famer. So he would just be risking that. He wouldn't be risking that. He'd be just risking the rest of his money.
I don't know. It's you used him already, right? So
right.
You've already crossed that Rubicon, right? So it's not like you're asking somebody that's done it clean his entire career to try to salvage it by doing this. You've done it once. I guess you can do it again.
But now there's so much at stake, the last bit of your money.
It's the last bit of your money, but it's also a chance that if you can get away with it, but all you'd be doing, it would just be cosmetic, Michael. He's got his money.
Right. It would be pride, because I don't want to go out like this.
But do you really, would you get away with it? Or do you want to go out that way again?
Right. That's
using
a big thing.
It again, like how sad that would be. Listen, don't ask me, Michael. I would never do it in the first place. But looking at somebody who already did it, and certainly had a lot more to lose when he did it than now, his reputation has already been soiled, but
I don't know. It's too much to risk. Again, his reputation shot. He's 39, so he doesn't have that much long to play. But to give up the $40 million, which you'll never sign another contract after this, I don't think you risk it. I just don't think you can.
And also, we need to pump the brakes with the whole reputation thing, because we don't know what's going to end up happening in the future, how we look back at these PED guys, right? Like, we're in the now, they ruined their reputation, but how will they be remembered 10 years from now, 20 years from now? And Cano's put up some monster numbers. If he gets caught a second time, Michael,
this would be
late
a third
in his career.
Time. This would be a third time.
A third time, excuse me. It'd be really hard to get up from that, even for people that have been very liberal with their views on the use of PEDs. But right now, you know, I'll be interested to see what Robinson Cano's reputation is going to be, you know, 10, 15 years down the road when Yankee fans remember him and remember how great a player he was, and ultimately how the Hall of Fame will treat some of these PED guys, because Ortiz is in.
But he's not considered a PED guy, strangely. He's just not.
Well, he's not because it's convenient that he's not, Michael. If David Ortiz was a curmudgeon like Barry Bonds, he'd probably be still waiting like everybody else.
Now, here's the Mets starting lineup against the Cardinals tonight. Nimmo in center, Marte in right, Lindor at short, Alonso the DH, where he usually hits a lot, third baseman Escobar, Smith is at first base, Canna in left, McNeil's at second, McCann is going to catch, Chris Bassett will start, will be the starter for the Mets as they try to take another series. A big win last night for them.
Huge. Honestly, Michael, and it was funny, I sent that tweet out and I got beat up by both Mets and Yankee fans. You know, Yankee fans, oh, it's April again, so now it's where the Met fan comes out and gets excited. And then, you know, and then Met fans are like, well, wait a minute, it's early. Have fun with this, okay? Nobody's saying they're winning a championship. The only reason I brought up 86 was because, again, that 86 team was won 108 games, World Series champion. We don't know what this Met team's going to be. I just looked at it as last night was like, boy, wouldn't it be great if they found a way to come back? And then they did. And that's been kind of the theme this year. Whatever you ask for, it seems to happen. You're shocked when they don't come back and win. You're shocked when they don't get the big hit. That's what I'm saying. It's just a different animal. And Ron Darling said it best. We brought it up a buck. 27 hard outs. You know what I'm talking about, Michael, where they don't give up at bats. They do not go down easy. 5-2 in the ninth inning, they'll find a way to put a couple of runners on and send the tying run to the plate. It may not happen, but they don't go quietly into that good night. That's something that's special. That's something that seems to be different with this team. And there's a lot of guys on this team that were part of teams before. That's why I think Buck's had an influence. He's modest to a fault, but he's instilled that in a lot of these guys.
All right, it's time for Diamond Notes, brought to you by Nissan. The letter that the Yankees have fought not to be unsealed, and the last court that they went to said it's allowed to be unsealed. The Yankees could take it to the Supreme Court. They've decided not to. They think it's eminently unfair that it is going to be unsealed. It was not unsealed officially yet by the courts, but today, Andy Martino of SNY does a great job. Andy's
he does.
Really, really good at this stuff. He got the letter, and he unsealed it himself. And these are the main points. So, as I said earlier, the people that hate the Yankees that thought this was a smoking gun that was going to reveal them as bigger cheaters than the Astros and the Red Sox.
What do we got?
They are going to be sorely disappointed. All right, here we go. This is according to Andy. The letter does not implicate the Yankees in a sign-stealing scheme similar to the one for which the Astros were published when batters received the signs in real time without the help of a runner on second base, the trash can banging. It does reveal, as SNY has previously reported it would, that the Yankees used the video replay room in 2015 and 2016 to decode sign sequences and then pass them to a runner on second base who would then relay them to the batter. For that, the Yankees received a fine of $100,000, a previously unreported amount. Now, to put that into perspective, that year, Buster Olney just told me this, the Yankees paid CC Sabathia $165,000 an inning. So the $100,000 is not going to break the Yankees' coffers, okay? Then it goes on to say the letter clears the Yankees of using the YES Network cameras to steal signs, which the Red Sox had alleged. The letter does not accuse the Yankees of sign stealing after the crucial date of September 15, 2017, when Manfred announced that from that day forward, electronic sign stealing would be subject to more severe punishments. In fact, the letter does not accuse the team of stealing signs at any point during the 2017 season. Mm-hmm. So there's really not that much there. It was kind of the Wild West in terms of what we can do, what we can't do with electronics. They never had a camera in center field. They were just taking it off the TV and then relaying it to the dugout, and the dugout was sending signs to the runner at second, and I guess the runner at second was sending signs to the batter. And that's what the Red Sox kind of did as well, but the Red Sox did it after they were warned not to. The Yankees were doing it while it was, again, the Wild West, and I'm sure a lot of teams did it, but the letter announces that the Yankees got signed fined $100,000 for doing it because I guess it was in the nebulous area of whether it was right or wrong. But this doesn't implicate the Yankees in anything nefarious at all, and I know that I've been getting so many DMs and just straight out from Astros fans on Twitter. You watch when they unseal the letter, you did worse than we did. Well, unfortunately, guys and gals, that's not the case. They didn't do worse. They didn't even come close to doing anything close to that. And the key line of demarcation was that time in 2017, which the Astros ignored, and the Yankees are not accused of doing anything in 2017. So if you want to say that what they did was wrong, okay, they got fined $100,000 for it, but they didn't lose draft picks. They didn't have the players called in to give immunity and stuff like that. This seems to me, and, you know, Jeff Passan, our buddy, he right after I said it earlier, he said the same thing. This is, in fact, an absolute nothing burger that doesn't do anything to the Yankees. And, you know, Don brought it up best. I wonder why the Yankees fought so hard to keep this letter sealed. It's nothing.
I'm sure there's legality behind it, and they probably felt like they didn't want to set a precedent, and they didn't want that open. But in defense, and believe me, it pains me to say that, of Astro fans or anti-Yankee fans, is that when you see the Yankees fight to stop it from being open, what do you expect?
Right.
All right, what are they trying to hide? What is that letter going to reveal? Now, maybe that was the Yankees' plan all along. Listen, we're going to fight it because we think it's wrong. This is private material. It shouldn't be made public. But at the end of the day, if we lose, we still win because, look, there's nothing to it. So it's a good day for the Yankees. And it's a bad day for people that think that the Yankees were going to get exposed into doing the same thing the Astros did. Because, boy, if that were to be the case, Michael, oh, my God.
Oh, they'd be hoisted by their own petard. I mean, they've been so angry about what the Astros did, saying cheating them out of the World Series. And then if the letter showed that they were doing the same things, they would have egg on their face. So, I mean, the people that were complaining, like Brian Cashman said it was – I mean, he knew what was in the letter. He received the letter. So there's no way he would have gone those lengths if he knew that the Yankees did the same thing. It's almost like the Yankees set everybody up. As you said, what did Astro fans expect? And then the Yankees sit back while the letter's released and go, psych. We didn't do anything.
No, maybe they were trolling him.
That would be an unbelievable troll.
That would be a very well thought out troll. But I kind of figured this day was going to happen when Brian was, and we thought Brian was wrong making it public, you know, complaining about the cheating. But how would that make Brian look if that letter revealed that they did the exact same thing?
Right, he had to know.
He had to know that, and that's when I figured, all right, this letter isn't really going to reveal anything at all. And it didn't.
It really is the best case scenario for Yankee fans.
Oh, that they can go back to being outraged about what the Astros did. And, you know, I was off. I think I had COVID back then when Brian said that. I mean, to say that they cost you a championship, that's a little much. Because you didn't score the two games in Houston, and then you still would have to win the World Series.
And the other thing that I jumped at, because to be specific, Michael, or exact, he said going to the World Series.
Right.
Like what's the big, you know, all this talk about, you know, we haven't been to the World Series since 2009. We would have gone to the World Series in 2017 if it wasn't for the Astros, which I guess is right. He never said championship, but he did say go to the World Series, which I guess they would have, obviously the lack of offense notwithstanding. But here's what my message to Brian would be. Okay, so then it'd be two World Series that you've gone to since 2001. You know, so it makes it a little better, but unless you won the World Series, people wouldn't have let you up. Do you think if the Yankees went to the World Series in 2017 and got swept by the Dodgers, that would have made Yankee fans love him anymore? Of course not. It would still be no championship.
It would take some of the pressure off because that means that in that decade you would have gone to a World Series. You still would have lost, but you know, also, you don't score. The sign-stealing scandal had nothing to do with your offense. You didn't score in those two games. That's why you lost. And the sign-stealing didn't do anything because the Astros didn't score. They just outpitched you. And to say that, you know, you took a World Series away from us, you fired the manager. So you didn't expect to go to the World Series that year. That was all gravy because you were rebuilding and reloading at the same time, and it worked. But you didn't expect to do that year. You didn't.
No. But what it did do is emboldened them to feel that they were on the verge.
Right.
And they ended up being wrong because they haven't gotten any closer since the game seven in 2017. That's why Brian gets beat up. But things can change this year, right? They're off to a good start. Or at least playing better now. 10-6.
They're in first place.
You would think they'd get their revenge on the Orioles this weekend. Or these three games. At least they better.
Well, those are today's Diamond Notes, brought to you by Nissan. Nissan's an easier choice than ever with their exciting and fuel-efficient lineup. Now get great offers across their full line. Shop at your local Nissan store on NissanUSA.com. Before we break, let's take a couple of phone calls. Let's go to Kevin in Queens. Kevin?
Oh, there he is.
Hey, Mike, Don, Pete, how you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. Mike, I'm sorry. Every time I call, I feel like I'm just going at you, but I got to get on you, man. You're coming across a lot like a Yankee boy. I know you hate that term, and a hypocrite with this whole Yankee fining thing. Listen, the Yankees got fined, right? You don't get fined because you're a Boy Scout. You get fined because you did something wrong. Now, yes, it wasn't on the level that the Astros cheated, but the Yankees got caught. And we could possibly say that, right, maybe a reach, that the rule was put in place after the Yankees got caught. So maybe there's no rule, right? The Yankees don't get caught. Maybe there's a rule because the Yankees got caught. Bottom line is Yankees got caught. They cheated. Stop making it seem like it was nothing. They got caught. They cheated. Plain
well,
and simple.
But here's the deal, Kev. Everybody knew that this is what they did. So we were waiting for the smoking gun that they did something that was akin to the Astros. I'm not saying that they didn't do anything, but in terms of what people were expecting, that it would make the Astros look small, well, the Yankees really didn't break any rule per se back then because there weren't any rules in place. This was all fluid and happening as it was breaking down with the electronics. So, yeah, they did something, but, Kevin, what was expected? Nothing came out of it. Nothing. We all knew this is what they did.
And, Kevin, in defense of Michael as well, he's always looked at the Red Sox on a way different level than the Astros.
Yeah, I don't think the Red Sox did anything wrong.
Right,
I really don't. And I don't even understand why they were fined, because if you're giving signs from second base and you had actually broke down the signs that were given by looking at video, that's, to me, smart. I don't think the Red Sox should have been fined. The Astros did something terrible. They had a camera in center field and they were stealing signs in real time and banging trash cans to tell their batters what were coming. I don't think what the Red Sox did was wrong. And what the Yankees did, I don't think that's that terrible either. Now, Major League Baseball thought it was bad enough to fine them. But what I'm saying, Kevin, is what everybody expected and what Astro Nation felt was going to happen, it didn't. So, yeah, they did nothing compared to what was expected. And also what Don said, the fact that they fought this tooth and nail to such a high court would tell you, wow, there must have been something terrible in there. There's nothing.
That's crazy.
We all knew that this was going to happen. We didn't know about the $100,000 fine, which I also do wonder about. If it wasn't against the rules, how could you fine somebody? But the rules were very nebulous at that point because this was all new. Electronic sign stealing. You know what? I actually now enjoy and embrace, and I might get T-shirts made about it. I enjoy Yankee Boy.
You do?
Yeah, I enjoy the name. I'm proud to be Yankee Boy. I can also look at teams and be very objective. I'm objective about the Yankees. I'm objective about the Mets. And if you want to give me the Yankee Boy, that doesn't bother me anymore. I think I'm going to go to the company that charged me $43 for the smiley face and get a Yankee Boy T-shirt made.
Well, I don't think you should go that far.
No, I think I'm going to do it. I'm going to own it. Don, you have to own things in life.
No, you should own it, but not wear it.
I'm going to wear it, too.
I just think you can't win because the people who think that, you're never going to change their minds.
Right.
And
right.
Ultimately,
so that's why I'm
if you end
it.
Up being Yankee Boy, then it helps the big job that you have and you don't want to lose. And how do you make it work? We've been on the air for 20 years and doing well. So if a few people call you Yankee Boy and I'm Met Boy and, you know,
and,
the things
Peter
that they.
Peter is just. People, unless, what was the thing that you were called yesterday, Peter?
No,
Culture
they
Vulture.
Cheated.
Culture yeah. Vulture, yeah.
But no, that's something he should fight. And not accept.
Yeah, exactly. No, embrace it.
It's not exactly in the same, you know, it's not even in the same ballpark as what, you know, we're talking about. So Peter should fight that moniker. But, you know, call us what you want. Just call late. The whole phrase I got, call me whatever you want. Don't call me late for dinner.
No, just call us whatever you want. Continue to listen. We're good with it.
Well, Hate listen counts as much as love.
Oh, yeah. Look at Howard Stern. He's become almost a billionaire from hate listening. I want to send out a shout out to Stephen Morawski.
Okay.
He's the master control guy for our show in Atlanta. He rolls commercials into the show. He's watching right now. One of my friends is with him. So we're sending out love and peace to Stephen Morawski, who watches the whole show.
Who's your friend with him that has to be anonymous?
You know him. He used to be your agent.
Oh, really? What's he doing there?
Well, he runs the Chicago Marquee Network. So I'm sure that they get their stuff run out of Atlanta.
He's very proud of
Mike McCarthy, the great Mike McCarthy.
Love Mike McCarthy.
Who doesn't?
Well, I don't understand. They're loading commercials for what? For national? For radio?
No, for the simulcast. So everything goes down to a portal in Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
and then it's shot back to all of the affiliates. And so they run the commercials down there.
With all due respect, I'm sorry. Pardon me for being stupid.
Well, so far you're doing well.
What affiliates?
Well, every cable system that carries, yes.
Got it. So each cable system airs will have different spots in that specific cable system.
But there are some spots that run on every single one.
Well, yeah, I mean, Trumpy Bear's got to be seen. You know?
No, that was just for Christmas.
Okay.
Oh, it was.
Yeah, and Easter.
I think it's Trumpy Bunny now for Easter. I don't
know.
Oh, Easter's over,
right.
too.
Yeah.
Okay. But the Cubs are in Atlanta. That's why he's there.
There you go. Boy, you figured it all out.
The Shombies was a great hire by him.
Oh, you think so?
Oh, yeah.
Interesting. I like Shombie, too, but, you know, he could have gone many ways.
Wow.
Well, interesting. And I was the one that was anti-Shombie for not supporting you. I still will never forgive him for that.
Never forgive.
Now, what would
Dave
happen?
Dave Fleming, too. He's not off my laminated list
now,
either.
Now, once you cross me, you've crossed on. So what would – I mean, would you have been interested if McCarthy said, hey, Don, you want to do the Cubs? Would you have picked up and moved to Chicago?
Well, I mean, that would be odd based off of, what, you know, 2.5 innings of exhibition baseball last year. I mean, that would be quite
but
the story.
But a great announcer is a great announcer, Donald. Stop
That's a great
it.
Point.
Listen, and also, right there on my resume, I got a tremendous critique, a compliment from
– Go ahead. Take your time.
Yeah, we only have 3.5 hours.
At Hospodar.
Jeff Passan.
Passan, yes.
Passan gave you a compliment?
Yeah, on the air.
What did he say?
We played him a highlight, and he said that I sounded very good. He said, he goes, if I didn't know any better, I would think it's somebody that's been doing it forever.
Yeah, because I know every time Mike McCarthy hires a big profile guy, he checks in with Jeff Passan.
No, but
yeah, you know, you can't even let Don have one moment.
Yeah, I can't. Well, you won't let me do it. But so,
Don,
so this
Don,
imaginary.
This team-
Don does a 2.5 innings, and basically you let me do an inning and a half, just hopefully the Yankees would hit a home run, and they didn't,
but we see
in the postseason.
These are important moments to remember, Don.
Because yeah, I know. He shows
Michael,
his true colors.
When Michael wants to know why everyone loves him and doesn't love him as much, you have to remember these moments.
So if Mike, because of my relationship with him, and he fell in love with that 2.5 innings I did on Yes – and offered me the Cub job?
Right.
As much as I don't think I'm good enough for it? I to argue I would take that job?
And
I would relocate
town.
To Chicago.
The kids would love Chicago.
I love Chicago.
Who doesn't? Even if Nancy doesn't, you have to drag her along. A lot of people on Twitter say they would buy Yankee Boy T-shirt merchandise, so I'm thinking about it.
Not a bad idea.
Not a bad idea.
We're
Let's do
way
it together,
past
Peter.
The clock time.
Yeah,
right.
We are way past the clock time.
And Let's having ESPN get involved. Just do it yourself.
Kay LaGreca-Rosenberg and you, and Morawski too, right here on Yes on 98.7 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
The Yankees have released a letter today.
Yes.
About the letter that was unsealed. I will read it to you.
Please.
The contents and details of the letter from Commissioner Manfred to Brian Cashman have widely been reported upon since 2017. As the facts of the letter again show, the Yankees were not penalized for sign stealing, but were penalized for improper use of the telephone in the replay room, which was only to be used for discussions regarding replay review challenges. At that point in time, sign stealing was utilized as a competitive tool by numerous teams throughout Major League Baseball and only became illegal after the commissioner's specific delineation of the rules on September 15, 2017. The Yankees were also vindicated by Major League Baseball regarding claims that the team employed Yes Network resources in efforts to gain an illegal advantage during games. Those allegations were found to have no merit. The Yankees vigorously fought the production of this letter, not only for the legal principle involved, but to prevent the incorrect equating of events that occurred before the establishment of the commissioner's sign-stealing rules with those that took place after. What should be made vibrantly clear is this. The fine noted in Major League Baseball's letter was imposed before MLB's new regulations and standards were issued. Since Major League Baseball clarified its regulations regarding the use of video room equipment on September 15, 2017, the Yankees have had no infractions or violations.
Can I get political for a second?
Sure, you always do.
Here we go.
This kind of sounds to me, Peter, like when Clinton said he didn't inhale. I mean, you did get fined, and the reason they probably got fined, Michael, is they were probably told by Major League Baseball to stop, and they didn't. That's probably why they got fined $100,000. Even though there was no rule in place, it probably was known that this behavior was discouraged. They probably did it anyway and got fined. So, listen, it's not bad. I put it on the same plateau as the Red Sox. It's not in the same ballpark as what Houston did. But it's, you know, they partook.
No, I would disagree with you.
How so?
Because they didn't get fined for sign stealing. They used a phone for something that they weren't supposed to use a phone for. The phone was, it was expressly said the phone was only used to look at replay. So they were sending signs via the phone, but sign stealing was not the reason that they were fined.
I know, but we're getting into that semantics area. They did something wrong. Again, I am not saying that this is a nothing burger. You're absolutely right. But you were asking, why did they get fined $100,000? They probably got fined $100,000 because baseball told them to stop, and they didn't.
No,
otherwise, why would they get fined?
That's true. I think that they used a phone for something that baseball had said was not to be used for. So when baseball found out about it, they fined them. I don't think they were. If they were warned about not using it, they would have been fined more. $100,000 is nothing.
I know, and that's why I said it was nothing when Clinton said he didn't inhale. Smoke it down. Smoke it, baby. That's all I'm saying is that it's nothing. So, like, they're defending themselves as if they did, like, zero. They didn't do zero. But it's all kind of the semantics and timing and stuff. But it's not bad anyway. That's why I use that analogy, Peter. You're with me, right?
Yeah, no, I think it's fair. There's a little I did not inhale. There's a little it depends on what your definition of is.
Yeah.
The greatest quote in the history of the United States of America.
It's right up there.
But what I would say, and I know you guys are having fun right now, if you're going 90 miles an hour in a zone that doesn't have a speed limit posted, then did you really break a rule until they put up the speed limit? So after September 15, 2017, the Astros continued to do it. The Red Sox continued to do it. And the Yankees didn't. That's the whole problem.
Right. I'm just saying that. But they got fined.
Right.
So the speed analogy is I still get pulled over. I still got fined. I had to pay the ticket, but they didn't put any points on my license.
Right.
So it's all fine. That's all I'm saying.
Tune in to 98.7 ESPN New York this Thursday for all of your NFL draft coverage. It's a big day of draft discussion with four top 10 picks going to our local teams. Plus, we have a major announcement here at the station, and you're going to want to hear this. It's all happening this Thursday right here on 98.7 ESPN New York. Now, do either of you know what this is? Because I have no idea. This is the first I've heard of it as I read it. What's the major announcement? Why is it being kept from the most important show on the station?
I don't know. I guess they think that we'd spill the beans. I don't know.
Because there's a lot of stuff we know that we don't spill any beans.
Oh,
We could bring this whole place down. We could take the transmitter down.
I'm not talking about bringing anything down. I'm just saying that we have information that would really entertain the audience. It might embarrass some people. Wouldn't bring anybody down per se. I'm not that. I don't know what information you have. I don't have that kind of information.
Well, you know what? Get the letter unsealed. I'll tell you exactly what I know.
Wow.
What could you know that would bring somebody? Oh, okay. All right, I got it. Yeah. I remember now.
Yeah, I know.
You have something.
Wow. Well, it goes, Peter, it goes back a ways.
It goes way back, okay.
Yeah, well, a lot of, if it didn't bring people down, it would bring people to their knees begging me not to make it public. Please don't, Michael, please. How much is it worth? That's what I would say.
Wow. You know, so
I'm not that guy, but to be that guy for like 30 seconds.
Well, you have the same info, so you could bring people to their knees too. And also the lifting of the curtain on the business. Forget about just the business. We can make people in the business look like complete reprobates.
And when Michael says the business, he means the industry.
I mean the industry. Let's go to Louis in New York. Louis.
Yes.
How you doing, bud?
Okay, good.
All right, so we got that out of the way. Let's go to Andrew in the Bronx. Andrew.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Sorry, I'm just like dying hysterically laughing at you guys.
Sorry, Louis.
Michael, if you're going to a show merch, you really should like just make this a drops on a T-shirt. So that would just be like hot seller right there.
I think so, right? Don't you think?
I would definitely wear that's not what you want shirt.
Oh, it's not what you want.
It's not what you want.
I definitely love
yeah,
that
but
shirt.
That doesn't Girardi own that?
No, he doesn't own it.
Nobody owns it's not what you want.
Oh, well, you know really what? We'll put Girardi, that into the Michael K collection, Andrew. We will.
The point I just want to make was watching the game last night, the Met game specifically. Like, there were times like last year where the certain circumstance happens, and you know what? I saved myself like the hour of frustration and just went to bed.
Right.
But yesterday I was like watching like the Canada at bat, I'm like, guy's taking really too long between the pitches. Like something just feels different here. Then it's a hit. Then a McNeil double. Then this team just feels like so inherently different that you just can't help but like be excited.
You got a dream.
All these fans who are saying like, oh, like yeah, wait, no, enjoy the moment now. Like, how can you not enjoy what you're seeing right now? It's such a vastly different team than last year.
That's all I'm saying. I get that. You know. The other shoe sometimes drops. They've gotten off to good starts before. But if you're watching this team every day like we are, Andrew, you're seeing something different. Now, it could all go up in smoke. There could be injuries. Guys all of a sudden could start to underachieve. But they're working. They're never out of a game. The starting pitching has been outstanding. Yeah, the bullpen's been a bit of an issue, but they found ways around it. They still won the game that Diaz blew the game. They won yesterday, Michael. It's scoreless into the eighth inning, and then May gives up the two runs. You think it's over. No, they fight right back, and they come back, and they score the five runs and take the lead. So the bullpen has been an issue, something you look for that might have to change for the long haul, but it hasn't killed them. You're 13-5. You're right there with the Dodgers and Giants, who are supposed to be good this year. I mean, that's how good the start's been, and they took 3 out of 4 from the Giants last week.
And I think that Andrew brought up the key point of that inning was Mark Canna's at bat. I mean, taking really filthy pitches, and then the guy started to worry, and then the whole thing unraveled. Now, obviously, if Arenado makes a throw, the game's over, but the Mets were running hard and put pressure on the defense, and that's what happens. We'll come back. We'll take more phone calls. We have Jeff Van Gundy at 5 to talk about the Nets and the Celtics. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Danny in California, he's been on hold for about 2 hours. Danny, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here, guys. What's up?
You're the best. How you doing?
I'm good. I just want to mention the Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving thing. I think we've moved into the player entitlement thing, which is where you've got these guys who believe they're so talented and so good that the rules don't apply to them in terms of, you know, we don't want a real coach who's going to tell us what to do. We're so good, we can coach ourselves, except that there don't seem to be the type of guys who are willing to do or understand what it takes to lead. And You know, they're not the kind of guys like we used to see Michael Jordan barking orders at everyone on the court, or Magic Johnson. Same thing, like guys who sort of became floor generals and were vocal. And these guys, it's like Kyrie didn't like being little brothered by LeBron and having LeBron take all the credit. So he's like, I don't need a coach. I don't need anyone telling me what to do, except you don't have any answers. So maybe their basketball IQ isn't nearly as high as they think it is.
It's hard to take away their entitlement because they are the show. But, you know, Peter's an unbelievable broadcaster.
Thank you.
I don't want him performing brain surgery on me. So, no. I mean, it's a completely different thing putting together a team and being a great basketball player.
No, but the better example, Michael, is should he be programming the show? Like, he's an excellent radio personality, but does that mean he'd make a great program director or a great general manager? Right. Maybe he would, but it doesn't automatically that you'd have that skill set.
Right. Yeah, that's a better parallel, sure.
And also, I always thought about this too, Michael. There's other players on the team. They have to be coached, and they've got to work with those other players because there's three other guys on the court. When those two guys are on the court, plus there's minutes in which neither of them are on the court, and there's five other players that also need to be coached and worked around, all right? So it can't just be, hey, we're gonna figure out a way to win. Well, like the caller said, what if he can't?
Right. Let's go to Buddha in the Bronx. Buddha.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Long time no talk, man. How y'all doing?
What's up, man?
What's up, Buddha?
How are you?
Good.
Good, good. Listen, it was two things I took from that interview. First one was Jeff Van Gundy's clearly still wants to coach because
Thank
he
you.
Wasn't trying to ruffle any feathers. He wasn't trying to be critical.
Andrew, didn't I say that to you at the break? I just said that to Andrew at the break.
No
offense
wild.
To him, but I listen, how else would you? You know he wants to coach.
But he would never rip another coach even if he didn't want to coach.
No, I mean, not even the coaches, the players, though, when you were asking about certain stuff, like the Ben Simmons stuff, he was like, you got to be very careful. That everything that he said was measured. But you know what was crazy, though? What I really took from it and what was really deep, and this would be what I would be assessing if I was running the team or what we would do moving forward, with all of Kyrie's different things that have taken place and all of the time he missed, he still played more games than Kevin Durant has played. And, you know, when you get to a certain age as a player, when you start getting hurt a lot, it doesn't get better. So, you know, the stock is not going to get higher as it goes along. If I was like Mike, what you were saying yesterday, I got to be honest with you. I would trade Durant and reboot this thing because all of that stuff about you don't want to not have something to sell to the fans, whatever. What the hell are you selling the fans? You had two guys there and you won one playoff series in 3 years. I think you maxed out on them dudes.
Yeah, but I think that Durant could still play. And the difference, Buddha, I would much rather have a guy who falls on a sword like Durant, he's injured, then have Kyrie off the court for all these myriad of reasons that aren't basketball related. He wouldn't get the vaccine. He couldn't deal with the social unrest in the country, so he had to walk away. You know, that I think is a distraction to a team. A guy being injured, and I hear what you're saying. I definitely hear what you're saying, that maybe he's getting older, but I'd still take Kevin Durant when I could get him. Let's go to Joseph in New Hampshire. What's up, Joe?
Hello, gentlemen. The gentleman right there, he's correct. It's just a bad situation for Brooklyn. I was in the place for $200 last night just watching the fans just soil themselves. This would never have happened at the Garden. Would not have happened at the Garden. They just did not – they were just beside themselves. And there had to be 2,000, maybe 3,000 of us in the place. Just took over. And they're just whining. It was the worst. It was the worst and best moment.
I don't know what you do about it, though, Joseph. What do you do about it? I know sometimes they'll go by only allowing, like, certain zip codes to purchase tickets. There's Celtic fans in New York, guys.
But also, if you're a Net fan, if you're a Net fan and you have tickets, okay, and they're down 3-0, of course you want to amortize some of the costs. I'd sell it to Celtic fans.
I drove 200 miles in the garage, just had this, you know, just polluted myself overnight. But it and save some money over the face value. So, but I don't get me in the position where I'm going to protect to defend a Net fan. But
when we lost him, well, what he's trying to say. Well, you want Net fans to have gone yesterday? I can understand them not going.
Yeah, and if you got a chance to make a couple $100 rather than go to a funeral,
well, let's say you spent a lot of money for Saturday. Saturday they gave you, let's be honest, a relatively lousy effort for the most part. That's asking a lot. So if then you act like the most loyal fans in the world and you decide to shell out and spend the money for both games so you can watch them lose again and then sit on the court and hug Jason Tatum for 15 minutes, I'm good. Why should the fans care about it more than the players? That's asking more of a sacrifice from your fans than you are from players.
Great point. All right, we'll take a brief timeout. Let's see if he makes more great points on ENN. He always does. I mean, they talk about it all the time in the industry. It's that sort of a deal. So ENN coming up in just a moment, right here on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.